Ready when you are, John.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. I welcome you to the May 4th ALMR User Conference. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order, and we can start, Sherry, with the roll call.
Okay, on the telephone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Ms. Tammy Goggia-Cockrell, Staff Sergeant James Angel, Mr. Pete Rogel, Mr. Chris Martin, Mr. Scott Nelson, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien, Mr. Tim Tomitz, Mr. Henry Cole. Is there anybody else who joined us on the phone whose name I have not called? Hearing no response, present Anchorage, I show Mr. Dan Nelson, Mr. Travis Conant, Mr. Nick Bonstock, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. Tim Woodall, Mr. Scott Stormo. Is there anybody else present Anchorage whose name I have not called? Nope. That completes the roll call at this time.
Sherry, thank you so very much. Are there any guests or new members that we would like to announce at this point? And before we get started, I'd like to also thank Dan for the ALMR town hall meeting yesterday. Dan, thank you very much. I think it went really well. There was a lot of participation, some good questions, and again, I just wanted to thank you for that. Moving on to the first agenda item is the review and approval of the April meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody got a chance to review those minutes at this point. I'd like to ask if there are any corrections, additions, or questions. Hearing none, I entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
This is Scott Nelson, motion to approve.
Scott, thank you so very much. And can I get a second for that?
Henry Cole, I'll second.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Hearing none, I approve the April or meeting minutes. Next is the issues and risk log. Sherry, do we have any updates to the issues and risk log at this time? Bring that up. We do have two.
Yeah, I had my mic. Yes, we do. For UC 80, the move of Mr. Henry Cole from the alternate to the primary position for DOD and the appointment of Ms. Jill Nicolazzo was approved by the Executive Council. So that item is now closed. UC 85, that will be discussed under new business.
Sherry, thank you so very much. And again, the next item of business is the action item list. I don't believe we have any additional or updates to the action item list. Sherry, can you confirm that for me, please?
That is correct.
All right. Next, Operations Management Office overview, Mr. Nelson.
Thank you very much. And a few brief things here. I'll try and keep it timely today. So. First thing on our list is just talking about the annual confirmation forms and report back to the user council. We have 8 forms remaining still out there. So 3 of those 8 have some time extensions for various reasons, and 5 are still outstanding. So certainly appreciate everybody that got that back to us in a timely manner that lets us fill in our audit requirements. So appreciate that. And we will be doing some phone calls here to those folks shortly if they still don't get those in and go from there. So thank you everybody for that. In April, we went through our document reviews. We had 5 of them with no substantive changes. So that included the employee termination policy, our security penetration policy, emergency operations, system change request, and outage reporting. So those reviews are complete. review some of the system metrics here, if I could. So when we talk about our group and individual calls for the month of April, 1,614,000 and change. And if you're on the Teams meeting, seeing the screen or the attachment that was sent out, you will actually see it's a pretty significant increase from last April, 466,000 additional calls. Same thing, of course, corresponding to our push-to-talks, 2,587,000 push-to-talks. And that is down, if you look at the graph, if you'll remember in March, we had a lot of traffic related to the Arctic Edge exercise that many of our agencies were participating in. We're still seeing, of course, an increase. I think some of those exercises and different things were still happening or maybe had part of that traffic. But compared to last April, again, the system metrics, the system traffic is quite a bit higher. I want to just point out our busies. So we had 250 busies. If you recall, last month we had 969 again, mostly related to Arctic Edge and mostly concentrated in a few sites in Zone 2 up north. But I just want to point out the 250 down significantly from last April with a significant increase in traffic. So certainly good things to see there from our metric side. We have a total of 24,726 subscribers on the system, Zone 1 and Zone 2, so we added 22. And our website, it's got 768 page views for the month of April. So some good traffic there. And we talked a little bit yesterday at the town hall about some of the features of the website. Certainly encourage folks to continue to use that. We were making some changes here this morning. So if you do notice any errors, we found one already. If you're not able to get something to load, give us a quick call and we'll get that fixed up. We're trying to resolve some issues with that. A couple other updates. As John mentioned, we had the ALMR Town Hall yesterday. I think we had 47 attendees. So I didn't get too much feedback from that. So if you attended, I'd certainly appreciate feedback. And just let me know if that's something that's worth it to you. It was designed to be an open forum. So we talked a lot about TDMA and briefed our members on some of the decisions that have been made and some of the next steps as we're getting that messaging developed and talked about a few other things as well. So yeah, if that's worth something happening, worth having on a semi-regular basis, we certainly can do that. Also, just on the TDMA subject, another training video we posted to the website is the What is TDMA video. That's a short, about 5 minutes, but since we're talking about it, and maybe that gives a little bit more explanation of the technology behind TDMA, and that's available on our website under the training section. That is the end of my comments. I'd like to ask if our user council representatives have anything to add today. Let me start here in the central area. Do any of our central representatives have anything to add? And hearing none, go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Tammy. I just wanted to report that we are working on, we have a nominee I will be submitting for an alternate representative for Municipality Central, and you should be receiving that either tomorrow or Friday.
Great. Thank you very much for that, Tammy. And let me go down to Southeast. I'm not sure if anybody was able to make it from the Southeast. I know there's some other things. Any reports from that area of the state? And hearing none, now let me go up to our North region. Any reports from North?
Keith Merriam, Municipalities North. Not much been happening other than Kyle Green and I, myself, got a chance to meet with one of the federal representatives from Almar, who was here in the state doing some things, had some good conversations with her, for FirstNet, the federal representative for FirstNet, and had some good conversations with her about hopefully what the future can maybe hold if we can get Almar and FirstNet all together. Going along with that, next week, I've got a meeting scheduled with to talk with Verizon about some of their offerings, which they've been trying to push our direction. Once I have some more information, I'll pass it along.
And certainly appreciate that update let us know. There's certainly quite a bit of discussion and different layers to some of the integration between those two. So appreciate that and those updates. And That's the end of my report, but I'm happy to take any questions. Otherwise, I'll turn it back over to John.
Thanks, Dan. Are there any questions for Mr. Nelson? Hearing none, we'll move to the next agenda item, which is the System Management Office overview, and I'm going to turn it over to Travis.
All right, thanks, John. Just wanted to kind of go over the projects that are coming up or kind of still going on. So we have four Motorola projects. The current one is the State of Alaska. There's still six GTR replacements that need to be done. We're looking at the five down in Southeast. Going to start on the 16th with Ketchikan, then we'll be moving to Skagway, and then finishing up in Juneau. Then the last site will be Atwood. So they're hoping to get that portion of the project done by mid-June. On the DOD, that contract is getting ready to get started up. They're going to start doing site walks here in the next few weeks. But that's mainly the microwave upgrade and the RF sites. There's still currently questions for the Army site getting upgraded at their sites, but the Air Force and all that will be moving forward and their microwave sites getting upgraded. And then the third project is AWARN Zone 4. They're doing a software and hardware upgrade to their simulcast system. I talked to Jason this morning, and they're looking at getting that started at the end of the month, and it should be finished in late June. And then the fourth project is, if all of these projects for the DOD, the state, and AWARN through the summer go as planned, and we'll be doing the system upgrade in September for all three zones. And then as soon as that one's done, there'll be a phase two with the routers, which HRF site will be upgraded and getting away from the T1 lines and going to Ethernet at all the locations. And the other thing we're doing here at the office is it's spring. The weather's finally looking nice outside, so we're able to get to a lot of the sites. So there'll be a big push for PMIs for the end of this contract year. We'll be working around the Soldotna area here in the next few weeks. And then there's quite a few sites around Fairbanks that we'll be finishing before the end of June. So we'll be, like always, we'll be reaching out with the help desk at our daily, so you can kind of track us where we're going to be and where you can kind of expect the outages. And that's all I have for the projects. I have just one more announcement. I accepted a job opportunity and we'll be moving on. My last day here will be the 15th of May of this month, the last full day. I'm going to stay on for probably at least a month to help in the transition to Nick Anisbach. He's been our lead technician for the last 3 years and brings a lot to ALMR. So he'll be stepping in and taking the system management position. And the only thing else is, I appreciate all the support over the years. And thank you. That's all I have.
Travis, thank you so very much. And I would like Dan to be the first one to say how sorry you are it is for you to leave. And we'll let people go around the table, and I'll end up.
Well, it is certainly true, even though I joke that I think Travis is really leaving because he doesn't want to share an office with me anymore. But it has definitely been a good working relationship, and I know things will continue with Nick. So I'll say it publicly, congratulations again, and don't be a stranger. We'll let you back in the building from time to time.
Right. Thanks,
Dan. At this point, I open it up to the phones in the room here for any comments.
Travis, this is Henry Cole. I just want to congratulate you and thank you for the help you've given me as I have learned more about this stuff. And good luck.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
joke that Scott and Tim fired me, but
that wouldn't happen. Other than that, so Travis, I too want to say thank you so very much for all the hard work that you've done over the 10 years that you've been working on this project. And I, for one, believe that we couldn't have been as far as we are without your support. So thank you so very much. Are there any general questions for Travis before we move on? Hearing none, the next agenda item is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. We'll start with the State of Alaska. Mr. Stomer?
Not much to add. We're just in that time of the year when we're working with procurement to execute the follow-on option years for both the OMO and the ILMS contract. So at the moment, don't see any reasons to have any concerns over those happening. So I don't really have anything else to add at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Are there any questions for Mr. Sturmo? Next, Mr. Woodall from DOD. Tim?
Yeah, Scott, having given us the validated costs for the IAMS contract and OMO services, that's been passed on to the paying agencies within DOD, and so I think we're on track for being able to move forward on the next contract here. The Air Force is all lined up and ready to go for the upgrade, and we're still working with the Army on coming up with a funding solution for upgrade of their RF sites. We know that there'll be a certain operational impact to both the Army and probably more drastically to the civil agencies that rely on those sites. We'll certainly assist in any way we can to identify and mitigate those issues. But it is something that we should probably be mindful of and plan for as we go forward. That's all I have. Any questions?
Thank you, Tim. Are there any questions for Mr. Woodall?
Yeah, I don't have a question. This is Rick from the Army. I don't have a question. I just reiterate that the Army's not prepared to accept the loss of those sites. So this is something that is very much still in discussion. That's all I've got.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate that additional information. All right, any other questions for DOD or Tim or anybody else on the line? Hearing none, we move on to the next agenda item, which is new business. As Sherry mentioned in the action item list, that we do have some new business regarding user representatives. Let me just state that in accordance with the User Council, Chapter 6, Section 5.1, it states where unless excused in advance by the user chair, council members are required to attend at least 9 of the 12 monthly meetings in a calendar year. An unexcused absence from 3 meetings in any calendar year may cause for removal from the user council seat. At this point, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of the other members, and they have user representatives that would like to be a part of it. And at this point, we could say that Mr. Timothy Boyce was appointed to the user council in January 19th of 2021 as the alternate of the Department of Interior representative. And since his appointment, he has attended no meetings and has not participated in any other matters brought forth by the council. So the following motion for removal due to non-participation is presented to the council members for their consideration at this time. So I'd like to make a motion to remove Mr. Timothy Boyce as an alternate federal non-DOD Department of Interior representative and appoint Mr. Robert Reddington, which is U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, in his place. Sherry, is it appropriate for me to make that motion, or do we have to have someone else make that motion?
You can make the motion, John.
Motion made. At this point, I'd open up for discussion.
Hey, this is Scott Nelson. Just a quick question. Has that individual been non-responsive to any attempts to contact?
Yes, I've. This is Sherry. I did send him that same excerpt out of the charter and notified him of that a while back, and I never got any response from it. He's included on all the invites that are sent out, so has never responded to anything that's been sent out from the council members.
Okay, thanks, Sherry.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry. And at this point, I would like a second for that motion.
Hey, this is Scott again. I'll second that.
Thank you very much, Scott. So we continue with the discussion regarding this before we call for a vote. Hearing none, I call for a vote, and at this point I can reread the motion. It says, remove Mr. Timothy Boyce as alternate federal non-DOD Department of Interior representative and appoint Mr. Robert Reddington, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, in his place. All in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Since hearing no opposition, motion carried. We continue with new business. At this point, I'd like to bring up the first item, which is site prioritization. Pam?
Thank you very much. So this is a follow-on discussion from our previous discussion last meeting. So just as a reminder for folks that maybe were not in this meeting, we brought this forward as a request for the council to evaluate areas that may have needs to increase site coverage or to improve portable coverage or where there are currently issues. And if you're seeing the screen here or the packet that was sent out, this list that I'm showing is a list of items that were identified in our annual survey that we send out to members, as well as adding some areas that happened in discussion both at our last meeting as well as some follow-up emails that I've received in the interim. So the prioritization process, we haven't formally done it since 2016 as a council, although we do keep that data and track it and do those things internally. But what our goal here is we certainly, you know, when we get into this, we certainly don't want to say that these areas are absolutely the priority or that other areas aren't important. But what we're looking at here is if there was political action or something that came into play where it was, well, perhaps we have funding or, you know, there's this other opportunity. We want to be able to have a ready-made list with a prioritization that we've already done. So if there are those opportunities that may take place, that we have those ready, essentially, is what we're doing. So on the screen, you'll see a number of those different areas. And I would like to just share and suggest with the council some recommendations from the OMO to think about here, which may be could be done as a motion or an approval of these as kind of our top recommendations, and I'll speak to them just briefly before discussion. There's two areas in Zone 1 that we've highlighted. One is Big Lake, the other is Nikiski. So there's some areas in Big Lake that have some coverage gaps. I think they're growing in population and certainly have been noticed by DPS and other agencies. Same with Nikiski. Nikiski's kind of in an area in between two sites, and in the middle of that is very, very poor coverage in some areas, even on mobile. Those two sites are a recommendation for prioritization because both of those potentially have some tower infrastructure or partners in place that wouldn't make this a completely new site build. So you kind of try to apply a cost benefit of being able to have the best bang for public money possible. So that's zone one. Zone two has two different sections here. So one is the Chena Dome, Chena Hot Springs kind of area. That is a difficult one because there is no infrastructure, but we've heard from Fairbanks Fire and police that there are some conventional out there, and it's not the most ideal solution. So that area, as well as the Toke Cutoff area, which has no coverage at this point. So those are two higher priority areas for Zone 2 that I think are certainly good places to start. And in Zone 2, I'd also like to note there's two sites that I have noted there, Nemana and Blueberry, for capacity increase. And those are both three-channel sites, I believe, and especially Nemana is fairly consistent with busies, especially with some of the military activities. So that's a little bit different than building a site, obviously, but still requires investment in some hardware. So that's my briefing. These are some places to start. But again, I wish we could say we've got money and we're trying to spend it, but we want to be ready for anything that may come down the line politically or from other actions here. So here's some recommendations to start. We'll continue to do these things every year, and I would recommend that, especially as we're talking about infrastructure funding and broadband and these other things, that we'll probably revisit this each year, and I think for the next few, to be sure it's up to date. So that's my report.
Thank you, Dan. Are there any questions or suggestions at this point? Are there any sites that you feel that should be on the list that are not? I just want to have an open forum to make sure that we are looking at the whole infrastructure here. And I appreciate, Dan, you doing the survey and showing us, you know, the results of that survey and making some strong recommendations.
Well, this is Henry. Excuse me. Sorry. This is Henry Cole with DOT. After polling all the different DOT regions and districts, I've got a couple of CAS requested additions to the broader list. The Montana Creek area on the Upper Steese Highway, so basically Montana Creek and Central. There's no coverage up there other than the local talk channels. You have Toke Cutoff, but specifically the northern half of the Toke Cutoff, roughly from mile 90 the middle of the Toke Cutoff from Clearwater Creek up to mile 91. I know that's on your list already. And then the third request was just increased coverage as much as possible on the Thompson Pass section of the Richardson Highway. I know there are repeaters down there, but I think there's enough dead zones. Those are from northern region, and then from our central region, from the Kenai Peninsula. And I don't know offhand enough about the Kenai to know where these are, but Skelak Lake Road and Baycrest Hill / Sterling Highway in Homer. And I mean, I know where Homer is, but I don't know those road names. So those are the requests from DOT to at least be added to the list for consideration.
I've got those written down here and certainly appreciate that. And I'm sorry, so can you give me just the list on the Toke Cutoff? Which creek was that, Clearwater?
Clearwater Creek, yeah, which I think is mile 77, but I would have to double check that to be certain.
Oh, I just want to make sure I have it down. Thank you. And I certainly will add that. So this list here is a flexible one. I mean, we basically, not in this particular document, we've got another spreadsheet where we really just keep the running tabs of things when we look back at this. So all of this will certainly get added. So if there's any other additions or things on the call, people's suggestions on the call, please let me know.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Any other comments or suggestions?
Yeah, Keith Berrien. So one of the things that I noticed is in the performance report this month, noticed that the Birch Hill site was underperforming. Do we have any information on that? Because that's one of the primary sites for the city of Fairbanks and the surrounding areas.
And
I think the guys did a PMI at that site this month, so it was down for a few hours.
PMI and a Was it reoptimization as well, or was that just a walkthrough up there?
No, it was just a full annual PM that we do. But when we do that, the site, you know, different channels are offline, and then we do a site off, like about 30 minutes after that.
But no, you caught that. So the maintenance inspection for Birch Hill, I think, probably contributed that to the down below the 5.9s.
Awesome. Thank you for that information.
All right. Anything else regarding the site prioritization? Hearing none. Dan, again, thank you very much. We're still in the agenda item for new business. Is there any new business that anybody would like to bring up at this time? Not hearing anything else. Before I give you the dates and times for the next meetings, Dan, what's the next step on the site prioritization?
So, I think probably the best thing, if the council wanted to, by motion, just ratify this recommendation or make some of their own, and this would be the top issues. And again, just to be clear, this is simply just something to have in our back pocket. There's no action item. We wouldn't have to do it today if we don't want to, but this is so if there is, again, legislative contact, you know, contact with the state, DOD, there's funding, we want to be able to say this is a ratified list, essentially, from that represents the will of the council. So I think that would probably be the next step if the council wished to do so, would be to confirm that that priorities.
Well, one thing that I know I would personally like to see is somehow if these are new builds, you know, just fresh new sites, if it would be a magnitude of cost, something that we'd have to bring power in for 10 miles or 20 miles or if it's just, or if it's close, before I think about making any type of recommendations, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about other people on the user council. That's just my personal thought, Dan. I don't want to ratify something that I think is going to be so expensive that it would cause me not to be able to do maybe these three number twos, or something like that before. So,
and that does make good sense. And I know operationally, the decisions on new sites and things involve the state and others. So, I can detail out a little bit more. I don't really have cost estimates. I can just say this is greenfield or a new build versus a potential partnership. And it doesn't lock us in either. So I just want to make that clear. So I can certainly do that and maybe bring that back a little bit more or whatever the council wishes to do. If you want to flesh out these recommendations a bit more so folks can see it visually, happy to do that.
Right. So how about other members of the council? What are your thoughts on ratifying, or what additional information would you need before ratifying the recommendation list that Dan has proposed?
I agree with John. I think having more details, like is this a brand new site or do we just put a new antenna on an existing tower, and then also priority one, priority two, priority three, that kind of thing. I think summarizing it that way would be good to see.
Is there a potential to get a rough order of magnitude cost?
And that's what I was also thinking. Tim, a rough order of magnitude cost, is this going to be a $4 million or a $1 million, even if it's a new green site? And that could depend on, where it is. Is it high site? Is there power nearby? Is there, type thing. So that's even beyond the partnering type thing. And Dan, I'm not sure what that would take to get that. If maybe you and Scott could come together with guesstimates. Scott's shaking his head. No.
Yeah, I'll say $1.5 million, but that's you just described some of the one. Where would the site need to be?
Yeah.
Is it even possible to get power to that location? Is it possible to get connectivity to that location? Is it possible to get a permit to do anything at that location?
Those are the limitations which should probably be identified. So that leads to the complexity of meeting that requirement. But you could get a quote from Motorola for the equipment you guys.
Right. That's $1.5 million we could buy probably what we need to do to put a site together. Now, that's assuming the pandemic hasn't totally wrecked all that idea. But
would it be a difference if it's a high site or a low site, if there's power 10 miles away or power around the corner?
Right. Yes, absolutely would be a difference. The power line running could easily, just up the mountainside, assuming it's available at the bottom of the mountain, could be $1 million in 5 years worth of permits before you finally get told, no, you can't do it.
And I'd recommend you identify potential frequencies to support it. We do have spares that are allotted, so if we could align the spares to that, find out where we have any storage, because now you've got a long pole in the fence going up through the FCC and the NTIA to get more spectrum to meet that requirement. So,
And really what I'm shaking my head now is we don't have the people that the people who did this a long time ago have all retired. So we would be contracting out even somebody to try to put together a lot of what we're talking about here to find a site, to deal with the permitting.
The Dean Strids,
right.
Collins, John Lenz.
Mm-hmm. And they did it, site after site after site. So that we don't do that anymore. We don't have any PE engineers. We don't have an opportunity to learn how to do that. So to get anything other than the rough order of equipment cost, with some caveat that says, don't know what the power line would cost, don't know.
Right.
So this is Sherry.
Yes, Sherry.
I guess my question is, would the recommendation then be to try to put together a spreadsheet that just lists the sites and then lists, things like Tim said, available frequencies for that area, and then another column that says available resources, i.e. shelter, tower, stuff like that, and then kind of map it out that way to see what we have and we don't have?
So what I would offer as a way forward is how we do our deferred maintenance stuff without having all the details. Is you can prioritize it based on where the need is, where we feel the most highest priority need is, and then when and if money does become available at some point, you got to look at that list. And as you were describing earlier, you might be able to do the number one priority, or you might be able to do 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 for the same cost. So we would have more conversation at that time. Say these are the dollars. These are, what we could hit at on this list. Where would you like us to put those dollars? That's how our deferred maintenance list works at the state. We have a prioritized kind of list, and then.
But you have a rough order of magnitude cost to weigh if you receive dollars what you can and can't.
Right.
So that's very important to know.
Right. And we can come up with some rough order of magnitude, but the ones that are out in nowhere, the ones that are a lot harder. I mean, we can make a phone call to the power company, see is there a power line along the Cease Highway, and then we can get ballpark what would it cost for you to run us a mile and a half of power line if we needed something. So we could do that level of it, but I wouldn't want anyone to think, you said it was 1.2 million, and it turns out to be 2 million, and we got you 1.2.
Yeah. No, I agree, and I know that this is very difficult when there are so many unknowns, and we don't want to spend a whole lot of time, because all we're doing right now is basically ratifying, a priority list. It's just that for me, I still think I need a little more information. Like Sherry was saying, maybe just a spreadsheet that had, just X's, shelter, infrastructure, power, frequencies, something like that, that just didn't have too many, rows and cells, but had something that we could say, yeah, that one's going to take a lot of work. We need to look into that one. That one's not. Just so I feel better about what I am approving or ratifying. And that's where I was, Dan.
Excuse me, Mr. Rockwell?
Yes.
If I could we go back to that screen where we had the zone one, zone two priority?
Is this one you can?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nelson. So if I could offer my perspective, right, I get where we could wait for the funding to come available, but there probably is some opportunity, especially amongst the users with the fire chiefs, police chiefs, that we could be advocating. And so having a figure, a ballpark figure, is a great conversation starting point with our representatives, our senators and representatives on having that money discussion, because these things here have a real need. And, you know, waiting, I mean, I get it, but, you know, if we can be proactive, but we have the information, that would be super helpful. And you know, if we, it's a matter of finding out the stakeholders in these zones, I'm a user council representative in the area, so I'm willing to at least pitch in for that. Any type of scoping we could do is just one bite out of the elephant that these zone, that these sites are. It would be helpful so that we don't end up in that predicament, or less likely to end up in the predicament that, okay, they throw $1.5 million at us, but we turn out we need $2.5 million. But, you know, having that scope would be super helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, and we can, so the OMO can put that together, and we'll work a little bit with the state group. And again, very, very rough. This is a wish list, you know, we don't have a site identified for each of these areas, et cetera, at least, especially in Zone 2. But we'll do that and bring it.
Zone 2, as an example, we built a site out of Chena Hot Springs up above Taurus Campground, I think is what it's called. It's an off-grid site. It currently has a DOT frequency repeater, a DNR frequency repeater, an AST frequency repeater. So it's like how the system used to be. It was kind of designed with the idea if we could ever get power and connectivity to it, we could make it an ALOR site. So that instance, there's already a lot there if we could just figure out either off-grid power it, which is painful, but a way to run an ALOR site, but we still have to find the transport. It's a cutoff. We have someone that we've partnered with in other places that has fiber along that highway that we have had discussions with, you know, that it would be possible to acquire shelters and put some stuff at their places and then get the transport through them. Those are probably, you know, enough of an idea that there's a reasonable chance those could be executed if funds became available. Big Lake, which one is the one you've talked about? There's a fire department, new Big fire Lake. Department went in. And if it's possible to co-locate at a place like that, that's got a tower and got the ability to put equipment out there, those could be fairly inexpensive. I mean, wouldn't be $1.5 million, could be more like, we'll be paying about $300,000 when we had a site that we put the trunked equipment in before. So I would say it could range anywhere from, you know, $500,000 to $1.5 million, and that's assuming there's nothing, like you got to have 5 miles worth of power line installed. So we can come up with some rough numbers, I think. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time trying to make it precise, because we don't have the people that can do that around here. So.
Right. Sounds good. I think we'll go with that and bring this back to you.
Yes, yeah.
Some of that. Okay.
As long as that's okay with the rest of the user council, but that's what I would recommend. All right. Hearing none. Any other new business? Looking around the table, I'm not getting anybody that says yes. Around the phones. All right, the next meetings are currently scheduled for June 1st and July 6th. It could be either on Teams or here in the Animar office. At this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Nobody wants to adjourn.
Is that you, Mr. Nelson?
This is Chris from Ileson. I adjourn.
Thanks, Chris. And I just need a second. Make it official. Either that or Sherry will be mad at me. And we all know how wonderful Sherry is.
This is Henry Cole. I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. All right, we are adjourned.
Thank you.